Well, welcome to Jesus Is, I'm not a model. Welcome to Jesus Is. And it is a four-week effort across all the Anglican churches around the Wollongong region to bring Jesus into conversation, asking for people's opinion about the person of Jesus. Jesus Is, what would you put in the blank? This is a great opportunity for us to be united as a church into something that's really big, that all of us, no doubt, to varying degrees, might get into Jesus Is, take a step, pray about Jesus Is in your personal times of prayer or in your small groups. Could you wear the Jesus Is badge? And better still, could you point people to it and say, we've got this thing going on at church, what would you put in the blank, Jesus Is? Could you wear the t-shirt? Yes, you could wear it at home. Delivery people do come to the door and you could be wearing it. And as we heard yesterday, there was a great conversation had as the delivery man came and delivered a bed, Jesus Is. But better still, as you go and walk the dog, you might like to wear the t-shirt. A few from church are planning to run in the Jesus Is singlet, and we're hoping to do that on Saturday mornings. You could change your Facebook page if you're into Facebook, put that profile up, Jesus Is, or you could have your answer ready, Jesus Is, what would go in the blank. Now men, something very special for you is a men's breakfast next Saturday, the Jesus Is men's breakfast. And if you haven't already signed up, see Ray Irving later today and put your name down. We have the Jesus Is cards and leaflets to hand out as well, and listing all the things that we're hoping to do on Sundays here and our Easter services. And as well on Friday mornings, as you would know, we have our drop-in, we have our Anglicare food van, but also we're hoping to have something out the front there, hoping to meet people, asking for their opinions about who Jesus is. Yes, there's varying degrees of bravery in this, isn't there? As we seek to ask people for their opinion about Jesus Is. And so just coming up for the blank fillers for our Sundays, Lord willing that we keep meeting here on Sundays, that next Sunday will be Jesus Is the Truth, Uchacha. Next week will be Jesus Is the Best, Jesus Is the King. And then we get to Good Friday. Good Friday, we have our two services. There'll be one at 8 a.m. and one at 10 a.m. Jesus Is the Rescuer. And then finally, Easter Sunday, back to our four services, Jesus Is Life. So that's the plan ahead for the next number of Sundays ahead. I hope you'll be part of Jesus Is here at St. Stephen's. Well, this morning we are going to kick off, and our theme topic, as you see on the handout, is Jesus Is the Way. Jesus described himself in John 10 as the door for the sheep, and what do we mean when we say that Jesus is the way? And I think if you look at your handout, you'll see there in verse 9 a key verse that really probably nails it. He says there, Jesus, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out, or go in, and rather than go out and find pasture. In other words, he's saying that he is the way to be saved. Whoever hears my word, he said, and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You go to Acts 4, and it says, there's no other name given to men by which we can be saved. You go to Romans 10, and it is by believing that Jesus rose from the dead and by confessing his name that you are saved. Or 1 Timothy 2:5, there is only one mediator between God and mankind, the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus is the way to be saved. And here in John 10 is a picture that shows this, where Jesus is the door for the sheep who brings his sheep out of the folds and to follow him wherever he will lead them. If you've got your Bibles with you, you'll see before John 10, it comes John 9. And in that section there, Jesus has been dealing with a pretty tense matter. Great for the guy because he was born blind, but the Jewish leaders don't like it because They are trying to kill Jesus. He's accusing them of leading them astray, and the leaders of Israel don't like it. And so this just fuels hatred from the Jewish leaders towards Jesus, and they intend to kill him. And so what you have here in John 10 is the man who was born blind, he's now seeing. You've got the Jewish leaders who are all there. You have the disciples of Jesus there, and he gives them the story, exposing the Jewish leaders as false teachers. So it goes like this: truly, truly, I say to you. Now, when you see a truly, truly, it's serious, okay? It's a solemn statement. There's something big that's about to unfold that's going to come out of the Lord Jesus' mouth. And he says this: he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, you've got all the people there, and they all know about sheep pens. Pretty hard to grow crops at the time, at that area of Judea. Not impossible, but a bit of grass, and they all knew about sheep. Sheep grazing and sheep pens, and every village had one, and the shepherds at night would bring their little herd of sheep into this village pen. And so you've got all these sheep, baaing, bleating and so forth, and you've got the different shepherds. And in the description that Jesus gives is a doorkeeper. We might think of him a bit like a security guard at night. You know, he's on night shift there, he's keeping watch. And the shepherds all sort of went into the town, had their rest, and got ready for the next day. Well, in the morning, they had their Weet-Bix, whatever they had in the mornings, Cocoa Pops, you name it. They had whatever they needed, and they came out, and they went to this security guard, this doorkeeper, and he isn't supposed to give the sheep to anyone. He's supposed to give it to the shepherd of each of the sheep. And the only way that thieves and robbers could actually get the sheep is by what? Climbing in at night into the pen to destroy, to take the sheep away, to fleece them, kill them, and whatever. And so what is this sheepfold that Jesus is speaking about? What is that sheep pen? And you see, it is the Jewish nation, isn't it? It's the people of Israel. You see, what you have here is the true shepherd coming to the fold of the Jews, who have been feeding, as it were, on all the teachings of Judaism, all the burdens that have been imposed upon the Jewish people. And from that fold, Jesus is doing what? It says that he is calling out his sheep to follow him, just as these Jewish leaders are trying to steal them away. How does Jesus enter? Through the door. And why is that? Well, it's just a picture, isn't it, of the doorkeeper allowing shepherds to enter. And here we have Jesus, the true shepherd. You see, he alone has the right to go into the sheep pen and to enter through the door. He has the authority, he has the right to take what are his sheep, the true shepherd. That is, that Jesus is the way for the sheep to leave the fold of Judaism and into the life that he gives them, into the green pastures, into the still waters of salvation, into the blessings that are all contained with the life of God that he has for the sheep, peace with God. Now, you would have noticed in verse 16, the Lord Jesus said that there's another fold. There's another fold. And where are they? They are the sheep that are scattered all over the world. How does Jesus bring them in? Well, through the apostles, through the ones that have been sent in Jesus' name, who have been sent all through the centuries, proclaiming to the world, Jesus is the way, through his church, through his people, through the missionaries that we send like Patricia, showing Christ to the world. On the day when you and I will stand in the presence of God, as the scriptures declare it, and as Jesus says it, he is the only way to the Father. Not our half-decent life, not I did the best I could, not your way, not my way, not the broad way, not any other way. All the religions of the world say it's by human achievement. That's the way. Jesus says, divine accomplishment. That's the way. He gave us one Saviour. He gave us one Lord. That's one door. One true shepherd for the fold, and he has the right to enter that fold and call his sheep, that there might be one flock and one people of his pasture. Safe and tender is this picture, isn't it? And you add to that picture this description of Jesus gives of true Christians. We're up to our third point there. Verse 3 there, the sheep hear his voice, you see, and he calls the sheep out by name and he leads them. It really reminded me of that story I'm sure most of us have heard about of HMV, you know, His Master's Voice, when Mark Baraud, I think it was Mark Baraud, he died and his dog Nipper went to live with his brother, Francis. And Mark's brother, along with Mark's phonograph and the recordings of Mark's voice, were all there, and he noticed one day, Francis noticed the dog Nipper having a great interest in the recordings of his master's voice as he stuck his snout into the horn of the phonograph. You see, the dog knew his master's voice. Now, that dog is called Nipper, and it's not too difficult for us to understand a shepherd naming his little flock of sheep. Woolly, Barbie, Jumper, you know, if you have a goldfish, you name it. And sheep don't know much, but they always know the voice of the shepherds. Now, I know this may not be necessarily sheep, but during long service leave last year, I had the privilege of visiting Kathy's cousin in Holland. And he ran a dairy farm. And one summer's afternoon, it was getting late, the light was still with us, he took us to a paddock and he pointed about 300 or 400 metres away a group of cows, probably about 30 of them. And so he called out in Dutch, and the cows heard him. They knew more Dutch than I did, those jolly cows. And they just came to him almost within an instant because they knew his voice. Many of you will know that program, This Is Your Life. You know, they get a celebrity on and they're standing there and then they hear this voice and he goes, oh, that's Uncle Joe, or that's my cousin Sarah, or something like that. This Is Your Life. You know straight away, that's the voice, you recognise it. And you see it's the same idea, isn't it? That the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and that the shepherd knows each one of his sheep by name. He calls them by name. And like those shepherds, the great shepherd knows their names, because the names of the sheep have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. That is such a loving, beautiful picture. Here is Jesus, the true shepherd. He enters into the fold and he calls his sheep to himself out of the burdens of Judaism, calling the sheep from all the other folds of the world of false religion and false ways and judgment. They hear his voice and he leads them out. The true shepherd going to bring out his sheep, but once he's brought them out, once people truly recognise his voice, they share in the life, what happens? They say it, it says it right there, doesn't it? They follow willingly. They follow willingly. He doesn't have to force them. They just hear his voice and they respond. We do not have to manipulate people into the kingdom of God. This is about Jesus being the way. And he leads the sheep into eternal glory and blessing, so that we enjoy peace with God. There's a hymn that goes like this: my Saviour the Good Shepherd is. He'll never leave the flock. The one who truly loves the sheep became the Lamb of God. Despised, afflicted in my stead, he spent his soul for me. And to the slaughter he was led, that I not thirsty be. No greater shepherd could there be, that he would not lose one, and lead us all to dwell with him, sweet pasture, living stream. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, coronavirus, pains, hardship, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can break the bond between the true shepherd and his sheep. He said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And he said, this is the will of my Father, that I shall lose none of them, but raise them up at the last day. Christians know the voice of their master, and we listen to the master's voice. And did you get it there in verse 5? Verse 5 is really like a double negative. It says basically they will absolutely not follow another thing, another voice. We follow our shepherd's voice. He says he is the door of the sheep, and he says it twice there in verse 7 and verse 9. And the picture is slightly different, isn't it? As the shepherd, he enters the fold, and now the sheep enter through him the door into the abundant life. He's the only way out, the only way to be saved. And he will do this by laying down his life for the sheep. And we go into the fold of salvation, secure, and we go out and under the watchful eye to find pasture. That coming and going is a beautiful picture, really, of familiarity and freedom of the sheep that we now have because we know God. What is that pasture he's talking about? Well, it's his word. It's the fact that we hear his voice and we know his voice, that we're safe and we are free and we're in Christ and we're satisfied in Christ and we find our comfort in Christ, in his word. That's the food that our souls are nourished, that the world cannot supply. The way to go in and go out. Well, what does this all mean as we face this coronavirus? Well, the pasture that we feed on says God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That's something to hold on to as the virus may come to spread, dare I say it, into Southern Highlands. We pasture on this. We pasture on this, dear sheep, that our lives are in Christ. The way that nothing separates us from him. We pasture as we feed on our lives that are characterized by the peace of God in anxious circumstances. Just as the flood was subject to his will, so is this global virus. There is not one maverick molecule anywhere in this universe that is outside the sovereignty of God. The pasture that we feed on says that God is infinitely wise. That is, he knows what is best. And the best way to bring about what is best. The pasture that we feed on says God is gracious. That he works all things for his people's good. Even though we may not understand the detail. I mean, who knows what is going to happen as Christians show practical love to others during this time? The pasture that we feed on says that God has ordained the exact number of our days. Psalm 139:16 says, "In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me." Nothing in all creation can alter the time and the manner of our death. It will be whatever the Lord in his sovereign, wise, gracious will has ordained. It isn't bad luck causing us to get infected and die before our time. We pasture on Jesus' words, "Do not worry," because it will not add a single hour to our lifespan. We pasture on the word that says that as we draw closer and closer to the Lord's return, that the famines and the droughts and the pestilences and the earthquakes and the viruses are all going to intensify. That's like birth pains. As birth approaches, the contractions are closer together, more frequent, more intense, more painful. That's a sign of the times. These things are meant to make us alert, to get ready. The Lord's coming. It's imminent, and it could be in our lifetime. Who knows? Every outbreak, epidemic, every global pandemic shout that the world is in birth pains, groaning before the coming of Christ. Am I ready? Am I ready to give an account of my life? Or will I be put to shame at his appearing? And does it drive us to prayer and to speak of Jesus with an even greater urgency? Jesus is the way. The world is at the mercy of it. And you know, we could run out of toilet paper. There it is. It all could be over for us. Life as we knew it has changed forever. No more toilet paper. How do we live? And yet the vast majority of people will not contract this disease. Most of those who do will not die from it. How much more terrified should people be of the judgment of God, that it's going to sweep over them suddenly and unstoppably, affecting every person who's ever lived, no matter where they are in the world. And yet there is a vaccine. There is a vaccine for God's judgment. There is a cure. It's found in Jesus Christ, the way. And he bore the full effects of our virus, of our sin, and that delivered the cure. You see, when we say Jesus is the way, it changes everything about what matters in your life. He promises abundant life, peace with God, and things right between God and people. He comes through the door into the sheepfolds with that privilege that is only his, and the right that he has, because he has full authority, because he is the shepherd of the sheep. He owns them and he knows his sheep by name. He already knows them because from the foundation of the world they were already his. And his sheep follow him out of sin, out of death, out of darkness, out of blindness. And they go through him, the way, the door, to live under his watchful eye in the world, free and enjoying all that he has provided for them. And a day is coming, friends, when his people will enjoy a future in the fold of God's eternal kingdom that is unspoiled and unblemished, all because Jesus is the way for the sheep. And he laid down his life for them. Just as we finish, there are just a few things I hope that we might take to heart here this morning. What we're thinking about, that there is a narrow way. It is the only way. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7. People are so inclined to leave what sort of inclined to sort of leave what they think is right for them. They want that. And it must be God's gracious work to open the heart to see that Jesus is the way that leads to life. Secondly, please know that nothing is going to thwart Jesus having and keeping his sheep. As you and I bring the person of Jesus to children and adults, you can be sure Jesus will call sheep to himself. It's a great comfort to know that he's using you to do that. It's a great encouragement as you see and think on our dear sister Patricia, as she enters that missionary work again. Thirdly, there are many different voices that can distract and buffet the sheep in our faith. There are false teachers. Jesus pointed that out in Matthew 7, and there are false shepherds. They have always existed, and he says, beware. You recognise them by their fruits. We are to listen to the voice of the good shepherd. His words are life, whose way is to save. And just one more thing. Where is oneness to be found? There's a lot of thought here or talk about one flock, isn't there, and one shepherd and one fold. Don't you find it incredibly simple, an idea to grasp here, and yet how quickly we forget that the sheep are one by listening to the voice of the shepherd and following him. Let me ask you this morning, do you think that it's possible to enjoy unity in the church if we are not listening to his voice? On the back of your handout this morning, there's a prayer. And it's a prayer that I hope you're going to be willing to pray, regardless of whether you've been following Jesus for years. Maybe you're a person that's been coming to St. Stephen's Church and sat in the chair, and you know today that if Jesus was to return, that I haven't come through the door. But now I recognise that Jesus really is calling me to follow him. Maybe that's you today. This might be the first time that you might realise that he is doing that. Well, here's a way you can respond. And what we're going to do is spend a few moments. We're going to just be quiet and look at that prayer. And in a few seconds or a few moments, just to pray that prayer quietly to the Lord, regardless of whether you've been a person following Jesus and you know the shepherd's voice. But it may be that there are some who have never done it. Well, let's do that now. Let's pray.